From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the Psychedelic Gospels. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. IKEA has agreed to pay $50 million to the families of three toddlers who were killed when IKEA dressers tipped over on them. The settlement was announced by the family's lawyers. The money will be split evenly among the families. All three boys were 2 years old when they died. IKEA announced a repair program back in July of 2015 to encourage customers to anchor the dressers to the wall. After the third death, it announced a recall of millions of the dressers, along with a refund program for customers who returned them. ISIS, the Islamic State, has published the names and addresses of thousands of churches in the United States and called on followers to attack them during the holiday season, according to a message posted on the group Secrets of Jihad social media group. Dr. Jerome Corsi for WND. Jerry, let's hope we get through this holiday season safe, but this is unbelievable. Attacking churches?
Well, George, it's a whole new dimension if ISIS actually carries out these attacks. I mean, we're seeing already in Germany the attack in this Christmas market was very frightening. And I think around the world there's going to be an alert through the Christmas holiday for sure about Christian churches. And I'm hoping there's a renewed interest worldwide about the persecution of Christians, which I think is a serious issue.
It sure is. I don't think the Catholic Church has any security at their churches at all, Jerry.
It's very, 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 I think you're right, George, basically. There's very little security. And the United States churches in general are not typically protected. I mean, there's local police protection to respond, but you don't see armed guards in churches. It would be really kind of jarring to see that in the United States. Let's just hope we get through this Christmas season without any attacks on churches, and that this is an idle threat by ISIS, and I'm hoping that's the case.
Jerry, what are you working on these days?
I'm putting together some notes and some materials on the election. I'll probably do a book on the election. This whole election was extremely, I think, historic.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And still controversial. I mean, still tremendously controversial. We'll have to see how Donald Trump does as a president. I'm encouraged that he'll do, a good job. I've known Donald Trump for many, many years and respect him. And I virtually lived in the Plaza Hotel for many years in the 90s and got to know him pretty well. And I think he's a great gentleman, and I hope he does a good job.
Well, his strength, Jerry, he's an administrator. And just by the looks of things, he seems to be putting in some people who want to make some change, positive change, and if he just manages it like a CEO would, he might do a good job.
And he has an outstanding reputation as a businessman. I mean, here in New York, George, it's tremendous the improvements Donald Trump has made over the decades, going back to when he purchased the Commodore Hotel, which is now the Hyatt Hotel. The Javits Center wouldn't probably have been built if it had not been for Donald Trump. The Trump Tower. You can just go on with the improvements he's made. He's a businessman, and I think we have to now give him a chance, and let's be very hopeful that we'll have some positive change. And I understand the disappointment people who supported Hillary Clinton feel. It was a bitterly contested election, and it's never easy to lose an election, but I think we've got to move on as a nation to the future.
Absolutely. Have a great Christmas, Jerry.
Merry Christmas, George, to you and to all the listeners. Thank you.
Dr. Jerome Corsi writes for WND.com. A 20-year-old Austin, Texas man stabbed his stepmother to death over the weekend because, well, he thought she was disrespecting his father and gloating about a Dallas Cowboys victory. Pontre O'Neill Jones has been charged with murder and is being held on a $500,000 bond in the death of Magdalena Ruiz, who was killed after watching the Cowboys' 26-20 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday night. The U.S. economy grew faster than initially thought in the third quarter, notching its best performance in 2 years amid solid consumer spending and a jump in soybean exports. Catherine Austin Fitz with us, investment advisor. Catherine, this little economy's holding on.
Well, George, you know, we talk a lot about the divide. There's a divide in the economy, and certain sectors are doing well, and people are making income sufficient to cover what's happening with inflation, because we're seeing inflation and expenses kick up even more. But you've got a whole section of the economy that you know, the inflation is hitting them on the expense side, but they're not getting the rise in income. So it's a mixed result. Now, I believe we're seeing more money coming back into the country. We just had a Chinese company say they're moving manufacturing to the United States. Part of it is a lower tax rate. But what's interesting is if the new administration can start to attract more cash and investment back, let's hope it picks up the parts of the economy that haven't participated yet.
Well, and the chairman and CEO of Boeing has said that they're going to build a cheaper Air Force One.
George, I was laughing my head off because the number one thing that needs to happen in this country is we need to shift taxpayer spending and management of resources from a negative return to a positive return. If we can do that, watch out. This economy is going to be great. And to just get one of the biggest contractors and vendors to the U.S. government talking that language, what an improvement.
You got that right. Catherine, thank you, and you have a great Christmas, too. Kolo, the first gorilla born in human care, the oldest gorilla on record now, and the queen of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, has turned 60 years old. Kolo was the first gorilla in the world born in a zoo and has surpassed the usual life expectancy of captive gorillas by two decades. Her longevity is putting a spotlight on the medical care, nutrition, and up-to-date therapeutic techniques that are helpful to lengthen zoo animals' lives. An amazing story as well. And we're going to talk with you about lengthening your life, too. Dr. Joanne Conaway joins us next from CriticalHealthNews.com. Don't go away. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dr. Joanne Conaway back with us. Of course, she is with CriticalHealthNews.com, one of our sponsors and supporters. And, of course, we support what they do. I'm going to give you right now a toll-free number to call, not to get on the show, but this is to get some assistance and help whenever you need it. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO, or the website criticalhealthnews.com. Just make sure you have that. She is the author of the book, Why is America So Sick? She served 20 years in the U.S. Air Force and Air Force Reserves. Dr. Joanne Conaway was an aerial medical evacuation nurse and in-flight medical crew director as well, and of course a spokesperson for CriticalHealthNews.com. Joanne, welcome back. Merry Christmas to you. And what is an aerial medical evacuation nurse? What is that?
Well, hi, George. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas to you as well. I can't believe it's already that time.
I know.
So what is an aeromedical evacuation nurse? Well, to be perfectly honest, it's simply we go into the areas where the fighting is going on and we take out critically wounded soldiers.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And we move them back to a facility that is away from the war zone, away from the activity. And that was the mission. And for me, my mission was on the C-130, so we were a tactical mission. So we were the ones that went deeper into the field, if you will. And that got them out, like I said, to a facility where they could be taken care of. And then the C-141s were the planes that would take them from the theater back to the United States.
What action did you see? Afghanistan, Iraq, or
Actually, no. I was out before then, but the first action I saw was, and many people don't even remember this, Operation Just Cause, when we went in and got Noriega. And
oh, I remember that. I have a friend of mine who was a reporter for CNN at the time, Charles Jaco. He was in there. As a matter of fact, I think he got Noriega's watch when it was all said and done. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Well, that was my first, and it's interesting because it was this time of year. I can remember that when I got the call, it was, you need to go now. And I said, where am I going? We can't tell you. So that meant I had to bring everything that I owned, okay? And, of course, I was a reservist at the time, so I wasn't on active duty. As a reservist, I would take the call if it came, and it finally came. So here I was, getting ready to prepare dinner for friends, and I had to call and say, we need to cancel. And, of course, the comment was, well, you can't go now. I said, no, you got to understand, I can't say no. And not only that, as aeromedical evacuation nurses and techs, we worked hard to learn the mission, to understand the mission, and be prepared if we were ever to get that call. And there was not one of us that didn't want to go, because this was what we had trained for so many years. And so, interestingly enough, we went in and got him, and we got the word that on Christmas morning that we could be released and go home. So they flew us out of Panama, and it was just an interesting time. It was Christmas, like I said, but I can remember I, at the time, was living just outside of Dallas, and my reserve unit was in San Antonio. So that was usually about, a four and a half hour drive for me. And I can remember on Christmas morning, I drove very fast. I made it home much more quickly than I ever had before.
The old song, but I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there were no cops out on the road. And I thought, just stop me. Just go ahead and stop me. I'll be ready to answer any questions you have. So that was my first experience. And then during the first Gulf War, my unit went and set up a staging facility in England. So we were one of those facilities where the critically wounded soldiers would come back. They would get patched up, if you will, in Germany, and then we would take and fly in and take them back to the States.
Well, thank you for serving, and thank you for doing what you did. And how ironic, as we approach Christmas again, all these unbelievable memories keep coming back to you, huh?
Oh, it's interesting for you to say that. There was a special on this morning, and it was talking to vets who had spent the holidays doing their job. And it's just, you're right, it does bring back a lot of memories, and it was a wonderful experience for me. And like with most people, when I was doing it, I was doing my job. Now, after so many years, I look back, and it really was pretty special what I was doing.
Sure,
you don't think
was.
About it at the time, but years later, you look back, and of course, I'm going through pictures and things because I'm doing photo albums for family over the holidays, and I come across pictures, and I think, wow, it seems like so long ago, but how important that was back then.
Well, and you're still doing important things now with CriticalHealthNews.com, helping people, Joanne, better their lives, making themselves healthier. Yesterday, I had a show on New Year's resolutions, and my whole contention about that is, come on, you don't have to wait for the new year to make a resolution to do something, to get yourself healthier, to lose weight, or whatever you're going to do. Do it right now, regardless of when it is. Just get it done. And that's the same, I think, with what you've been doing and what Doc Wallach has been doing and Ben Fuchs has been doing for so long, and that's telling people, let's get going right now. And in your book, Why is America So Sick? It's so poignant to just tell everybody, people just need to take control of themselves right now and not wait. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I do. And, I don't know how we get into that mindset. I don't know how we develop the paradigm of thinking, the first of the year, I need to make big changes in my life. The unfortunate thing is, and especially around the holidays when we're talking about making those big changes, after the first of the year, I'm going to go on a diet and start working out. Well, you really need to think about that ahead of time. And just imagine, if you will, if you do that starting now and don't put it off till the first of the year, you're not likely to be one of those that will overeat and have that many more pounds to get rid of when the holidays are over and the first of the year gets here. But I agree with you 100%. There's no time like the present, and it's never too late for people to start making the changes they need to make themselves healthier.
My granddaughter, who is back from college, she's in her last year, stays with me when she comes back from school. And this morning she was looking at all the supplements that I have on the table. And I'm in St. Louis right now for the holidays, and I have duplicates of everything in L.A. and St. Louis and wherever I go. And she's looking at all of these. But what I really enjoyed watching was she was looking at these and reading the supplements and trying to understand what they're for. And at 22, I think that's pretty darn smart to do that, isn't it?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I have a son who's 23 years old. And, all the time he was growing up, he took the supplements. And then, of course, he went off to college and became bulletproof. Okay.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, oh, Mom, I don't need to take that.
Yeah. Nothing could touch him.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, though, he's engaged now. They're planning to be married, and he's thinking about children. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know those supplements, Mom? And I'm like, okay, I'm not the one forcing him. I'm not the one pressuring him. So now his attitude toward it is a whole lot different. And you're right. He knows. He understands. He's listened to me for all these years. And so he knows and understands, and now he's taking it upon himself to make those corrections and to do those things. So I know exactly what you're saying. When you can get these younger people to start to pay attention now, they will be light years ahead of those that don't. And we know the statistics are out there saying that this generation is the first generation whose parents will die before they do. I mean, who will die before their parents
do. That's right. That's, which is shocking and sad.
It is. It is. But it has everything in the world to do, in my opinion, with our food supply. And, you know, one of the things you talked about was that individual who, I think it was, he took his stepmother's life after a football game.
Yeah.
So oftentimes people will say, oh my gosh, he must have been wigged out on some drug or something. And chances are he was. But my first go-to thought is always, wow, his diet must have been deplorable.
Horrible.
Absolutely. Make somebody do something like that?
Well, and the diets of most people, Joanne, are horrible these days, aren't they?
Well, they are, George. And the big reason why they are is because people don't understand what's in our food. People don't get it. They think that the convenience makes life good. You see it advertised. It can't be bad. You know, I look at things all the time and say, are you kidding me? I was looking for something for my mother today. It's something that her dad always gave her at Christmas. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I say peach blossom candies.
Yes, I sure do.
Yeah, and this is something I grew up on. But I was talking to my husband about it, and I said, I can remember when I was growing up, they were made with real sugar. I said, there's a big difference now. I'm sure it's high fructose corn syrup and not real sugar. And the unfortunate thing is people still look to those traditional things that they always ate, and now it's not any good for you. It was never good for you, but it was never so bad for you. And that's the situation we find ourselves in now. Not only are foods not healthy, they're actually detrimental to the body. They're actually very unhealthy and can cause issues and problems. And I personally believe that that's a big part of the reason why we see such obesity and such diabetes and all of the things that go along with it. It's nutritional deficiencies because the foods that we're eating are prepackaged, processed foods with no nutrition. And not only do they not have nutrition, but in addition to that, they are loaded with things that make us unhealthy. They are loaded with things that are killing us.
We're with Dr. Joanne Conaway, criticalhealthnews.com, and we're going to open up the phone lines early with her to give you an opportunity to get in because last time she was on, so many of you were still on hold, and I don't want to do that to you. So we'll open up the phone lines in just a moment, and we'll have her for the next hour and a half. We'll also take your text health questions. Tom has those back in the LA studios. So when you hear the text phone number that we give out, you can text Tom a little message and we'll try to get your question answered by Dr. Joanne Conaway, again from criticalhealthnews.com. They have been with us now as sponsors for at least a couple years, and we have seen an incredible growth with what they have been doing for helping so many people. It's got to be, for all of you associated, Joanne, with criticalhealthnews.com, it's just got to be a great feeling knowing you're helping people.
Oh, it is, George. And I love what I do. And I love when people call and they have some real serious problems or issues. They haven't gotten the answers. They haven't gotten well. You know, their doctor has tried this and has tried that, and none of the things that have been offered have affected a change whatsoever. And they'll call me, we'll talk about it, we'll talk a lot about the products, about the need for 90 essential nutrients, and we'll get these people started on a program that gives them the nutrients, plus cleans up their gut, if you will, so that the gut is working well after all those deplorable foods. And it's just so rewarding to have people call me back in 2 or 3 weeks and say, what are you doing to me? I haven't felt this well in years.
That's great. Well, stay with us. Dr. Joanne Conaway with us, criticalhealthnews.com. And again, phone number to call for help and assistance. They'll also talk with you if you want to get into a small business. They have a plan for you, which truly is remarkable. I know some individuals who have been doing this, and they're doing very well. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. And we're going to take your calls with Dr. Joanne Conaway from criticalhealthnews.com. We'll do it next hour as well. And we will take your text questions, too. Tom has got that ready to go in the L.A. studios. Okay, welcome back. Dr. Joanne Conaway with us from criticalhealthnews.com. A number to call, not to get on the show, but for information, 1-855-949-7234. That's simple. Doctor, there are some pharmaceutical drugs that help people. I'm thinking of blood pressure pills and things like that. But natural supplements, in addition to whatever your doctor is telling you and prescribing, I think might be the best way to go. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. You know, a lot of people take blood pressure medication, and the unfortunate thing is, in this day and time, many people are given blood pressure medication for blood pressures that really are not that high. The old standard used to be 140 over 90. If the upper number was above 140 and or the lower number above 90, then it was felt to be high blood pressure, and that's when people were medicated. Well, physicians started dropping that down to 135 over 85, mm-hmm. and now some physicians say if it's higher than 130 over 80, we really need to be treating it. The unfortunate thing is, so oftentimes a person is treated for a blood pressure based on one single reading. Now, anyone who has to check their blood pressure from time to time knows that the reading changes all the time. And I know I had this happen to me one time. I was working nights, and I had decided that I wanted to do some home care nursing. So I had to go for a physical to do home care nursing. So I had worked. I got off work late. I was in a hurry to get to my appointment. I dashed in, filled out the paperwork, jumped up on the table, and she checked my blood pressure. And when she did, it was like 132 over 86, something like that. And I thought, okay. The first words out of her mouth were, oh, that's a little bit high. We need to get you on some medicine.
Oh,
and I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep an eye on it, and, you know, I'll let you know if I need any medicine. The sad thing was the fact that she never said anything to me about what I had been doing for the last couple of hours. You know, I had worked all night. I drank a cup of coffee. I was in a hurry. I was stressed. My feeling was, if my blood pressure hadn't been that high, I'd be a little worried.
Well, and I have had, since I was a boy, Joanne, white coat syndrome, which means you walk into a doctor's office, your blood pressure goes up. And since I was a little kid, every time I walked into a doctor's office, my blood pressure went up. Every time. And once I was there, and I waited, and I talked to him, and he took it again, and he took it again, it got down to normal again. That happens.
Mm-hmm. And that is so common. That is so common, and people just don't realize it. And it is white coat syndrome. If you're going to a doctor, oh my gosh, what is he going to tell me? What is he going to say? What is he going to find? Is my lab work not good? And you stress yourself out so outrageously because you don't know what he may or may not say. And by the time you get in there, you are stressed and your blood pressure is high. Now, what I recommend for people is, unless your blood pressure is outrageous, like 200 over 100, ask them if you can do serial blood pressures and check your blood pressure or have someone check your blood pressure over the course of the next 3 or 4 days and see if it truly is high blood pressure. But the other thing, too, although medication can help to bring your blood pressure down, we know that good, healthy nutritionals can also do that.
Right.
And when I work with people, I make sure that their digestive system is healthy, make sure that they're processing and absorbing the nutrition that they're taking well, and I make sure they're on a good calcium magnesium supplement to help bring the blood pressure down. We've helped many people get off their blood pressure medications because it really is as simple as that. Make a few minor lifestyle changes. You don't have to go out and start running a marathon, but just make some lifestyle changes, increase your activity level, clean up the diet, eat healthy foods, and lo and behold, supplement, and usually that's all it takes.
Does stress increase your blood pressure?
Absolutely. And again, it's the body's mechanism. This is
it's a protection thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And when you get stressed, your heart goes, your heart beats a little bit faster, and the reason for that is all the tissues and organs are experiencing this stress. They need more oxygen, and the only way the body's going to get more oxygen is if the heart rate goes up and if the blood pressure goes up a little bit to drive all that good, healthy blood where it needs to be. So stress often will raise the blood pressure, and that's why people who are chronically stressed oftentimes do suffer from high blood pressure, headaches, blurred vision, things like that. It's because they're chronically stressed, chronically inflamed throughout. Again, we get back to the diet. The rotten foods that we're eating drive that inflammatory reaction throughout the body, and that contributes to all kinds of problems, not the least of which is high blood pressure.
All right, let's go to the phones, and we're going to do this next hour as well with Dr. Joanne Conaway from criticalhealthnews.com. We'll pick it up by going to Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get things started. Hey, Thomas.
George, thank you for taking my call.
Very welcome.
And to you, George, and to you, Joanne, again, thank you for your service.
Thank you. My question,
Joanne, is concerning lactose intolerance. All of my life, I could not consume dairy, whether from cows or goats, etc. And it was a real revelation to me to be able to consume non-pasteurized, non-homogenized dairy, which is legal here in California, if you can get it. There's a couple of dairies that sell it. And Joel Wallach is recommending a stick of butter a day to keep the doctor away, you know. And so I have, I'm consuming non-pasteurized, non-homogenized dairy, which is very tasty. I don't experience the lactose intolerance. And I'm curious, I'm wondering whether the lactose intolerance was a result of the pasteurization of dairy, making it toxic. Non-pasteurized, non-homogenized dairy butter is very tasty, very consumable, and I'm curious about that, whether the pasteurization actually kills enzymes or whatever. It's doing something to make it toxic, whereas non-pasteurized dairy seems to be very healthy for me, particularly the butter.
What do you recommend, Doug?
Well, you're absolutely right. The pasteurization and homogenization and all of those things that we do to dairy products are actually, in my opinion, especially with milk, making it a non-food. There's nothing healthy left in it if you're going to pasteurize it and homogenize it the way they've done. And one of the questions I would ask you is, do you take any supplements at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Joanne, I'm on the longevity program.
Okay. A part of what may have happened, and this will happen with many people, when you start taking these products will actually help to repair the inside lining of the digestive system. Now, a lot of people with lactose intolerance are lactose intolerant because they don't have a good balance of that good healthy gut bacteria versus the unhealthy bacteria. And when we correct that balance in people, oftentimes their lactose intolerance will go away. This happened with my son, long story, but to make a long story short, he had a horrible lactose intolerance because of the antibiotics he was given when he was a much younger child. And when I got him on a program where I cleaned up his gut by doing good, healthy probiotics, the lactose intolerance went away. Oftentimes, we see this happen in people because, once again, that lactose intolerance is oftentimes due to not enough good, healthy gut bacteria. Those good, healthy gut bacteria actually contribute to making that lactase, which is an enzyme to break down lactose. Lactase is the enzyme that breaks down the milk sugar. When you actually have lots of good, healthy gut bacteria, you're producing that enzyme, and your body can then tolerate things that have lactose in them. I never, however, recommend that people drink milk. That's just my feeling. But so much of what they've done to milk, again, makes it a non-food, in my opinion, So I know that those people that are out there on the milk council don't like what I say.
No, I interviewed a guy once, Joanne, who called it cow pus.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. You know, when we talk about milk in today's world, it usually comes from cows that have been pumped full of antibiotics and steroids and all of those things. And the unhealthy parts are the parts we get. And that's the sad thing. And cow pus is probably a good way to describe it.
You know, I've got a regimen that when I wake up, I do the Royal Canadian Air Force exercise course, which is only 10 minutes long. You don't need any weights or anything to do that. It's one of two things that I do. I do the treadmill and stuff later on. But it's great, but I feel very guilty because my next regimen is I start taking my supplements in stages over the day. I don't take everything in one batch like Joel does. I'll take like six or seven of them in the morning and another five in the afternoon and then later on at night. But you feel guilty, Joanne, if you don't do it. If you don't follow through with it, you feel like you're cheating yourself. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. But once you start taking them and feeling better, you realize just how important they are. And feeling guilty about not taking them, that's probably a good guilt. I wouldn't stress over it, but certainly I would say that if you feel guilty not taking it, it's probably good. It's probably healthier for you because it gives you that mindset. You know, it's the same thing with overeating. People get stressed out about overeating. One of the things people need to realize, and especially around the holidays, one of the things people need to realize is to stress yourself out over the potential to overeat or the act of overeating is sometimes a whole lot unhealthier than the overeating.
Sure is. Let's go to Tom now in Los Angeles. He's got a text message for you, I believe. Tom, what do you have?
We're going to do a tweet this time,
tweet.
Actually.
All right.
It's from All American In-Law. He or she says, I have postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome.
That's a heart problem.
And I have non-ARA migraines as a result. What should I do to stay healthy?
Well, you know, that's a program that we commonly put people on because many people have issues like this and they don't really realize it. Some of them are not diagnosed, unfortunately. But an important thing to understand is for anyone that has issues like this, the first thing that we talk about is make sure you clean up the diet. And why is that so important? Well, literally, if you're eating gluten and you're eating genetically modified foods, your body is reacting and responding to those things. And the body's responding by creating this inflammatory reaction throughout the body, which then in turn will contribute to issues that are blood pressure issues, cardiac issues, and so forth. So cleaning up the diet is really important. And, you know, this is something that is sometimes a difficult challenge for people. People say, oh, my gosh, I've eaten bread all my life. You're going to tell me not to eat bread? Well, I'm going to tell you don't eat bread if you want to get healthy. So I would say clean up the diet, and then how do we address that particular problem? We do the calcium magnesium, like I said, when, you know, and this person needs to call Critical Health News and talk with someone to get the supplementation that they need. But cleaning up the diet and repairing the digestive system, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, lots of probiotics and the things that we know are so important to help us be able to absorb our nutrients better, and then get on a good program that includes the 90 essential nutrients and extra calcium, magnesium, and I think this person would see an amazing difference.
All right, great. Thank you. Mike in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Thank you. You too.
I have two questions. Human beings are creatures of habit, and when you open the show, you said most people's diet is deplorable, and I am certainly guilty of that. Now, when you turn on the TV and you say, you know, they run, come to this fast food joint and get two Baconzillas for $3 or whatever it is, you know, it's tempting. So you go, it's cheap, it's relatively easy. So then you look and you say, well, no wonder America's fat. So the first question is, how do you combat that? Like for a beginner, if you want to change your lifestyle and your diet, what's an effective way of doing that, especially when, you know, like I said, we're creatures of habit and we're used to doing a certain thing? And then the second question, when I was a kid back in the 80s, you used to always, and I know, George, you used to run TV stations and whatnot, so you would know this. You would see commercials, you know, say no to drugs. Drugs are no good for
right,
you.
Right.
Why can't they do that with food? I mean, is it that the food industry is too powerful? Or because, you know, I would think the government can run ads that say eating healthier is the key to living longer, you know, eating healthy. And you hardly ever see any ad campaigns or anything. So I'm just wondering what your answer to those two questions are, and I'll take my answer off the air. And have a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year.
Thanks, Mike, and make sure you're listening. We'll be live all through the holidays. Joanne, I think really the simple answer, isn't it, is it's moderation, isn't it?
It really is, George. And, you know, and Merry Christmas, Mike. Thank you so much for those questions. Good questions. One of the things, and I work with people, I'm a health coach, if you will, so I work with people all the time. And Mike's absolutely right. You go up and watch these things on TV, and, oh, my gosh, that pizza just looks so delectable, and, you know, all of those things. It takes a little bit of time. But if you will tell yourself, this is not food that is nourishing me, this is not food that is making me healthy, I really need to limit this, you will eventually get there. Now, what I tell people is, okay, if you're used to a Big Mac and a large order of fries every time you go out of the house, then for you to say, okay, I'm never going to do that again, that's going to put you into that stress mode that I talked about a minute ago. So I say to people like that, eat half of the order. Start out by eating half of the order and eat only half of those French fries and throw the rest away. People, first of all, don't like to throw food away. Now, many people don't like to throw food away. This current generation, they really don't care. But most people, especially people who grew up when I grew up, we don't like to throw food away. But it's a good way to start to correct certain behaviors. Another thing that's fascinating, when people have this tendency to go to the never-ending whatever and sit down to eat a meal, they want to eat and eat meat. One of the recommendations is order the meal that you want, and before you even start to eat that meal, cut it in half and put half of it in a to-go box, and do not allow yourself to touch that half of the meal until perhaps the next day. When we start to consciously make the decision to eat half of what we used to eat, that's one of the ways that people can change their behaviors. It is difficult, and it's certainly challenging, especially with older people. I have a little 87-year-old, and I keep trying to tell her that gluten probably isn't the healthiest thing for her, and her comeback is always, how can you eat eggs without toast? Well, at that age, I'm probably not going to affect much of a change,
right,
so
right.
I just kind of let her go with it.
Sometimes they know how to last, don't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the other thing, you know, in response to your second question, it is because food manufacturers and those who produce all this food that is so unhealthy, those people do have big money and do drive the industry. And it's very difficult to try to get some of these foods out of the diet and out of the marketplace because you've got such big money behind these things.
All right, we're going to come back at the top of the hour with Dr. Joanne Conaway and do an hour of phone calls and tweets and texts as well to help you out. The website is criticalhealthnews.com. People are at this phone number now. They'll give you some assistance, too, especially if you can't get through on the program tonight. 1-855-949-RADIO or 1-855-949-7234. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.